And now, a Rob Brown Lowdown, only on the Fan Upstate.
Wondered how hard the world of golf was going to go on the paint, in the paint, around some paint, on the LIV Tour v PGA Tour battle with all these guys back out on the floor. And I'll say this, I talked about this on the show on Friday. We talked a little bit about what's happening with golf. And Lonzo had I think, apt point of, look, golf for about a decade and a half benefited from the greatness of Tiger Woods because he was compelling, he was charismatic, he was interesting, and he dominated everybody. He was good. I think that Tiger raised the audience, but he also raised the audience's expectations, for sure. And without Tiger, which means you are missing out on two things. You're missing out on a guy that has incredible charisma, but you're also missing out on a dominant golfer, or you were until Scottie Scheffler showed up. Scottie right now is playing golf the way Tiger was playing golf in his prime. I don't know if he's going to have a decades-long success run like Tiger did, but he's in that mix. Let me tell you, post-LIV Tour split, when golf was the most interesting. It was when you had the initials or pre-initial split, when you had a rivalry going between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. I don't know if you remember the interview, but there was a spot at one of the majors where Brooks Koepka was doing an interview, and this was right after Bryson DeChambeau came back. And remember when Bryson DeChambeau came back and he was completely yoked beyond belief? He came back absolutely jacked, and he was a big science dork. Remember that? Golf's all calculus and trigonometry and algebra.
Didn't he have like t-shirts or something?
He had polo shirts that had like little Benson burners and beakers and math signs on them. And I thought that was really compelling because he came back and he said, yo, I'm approaching golf the way that all you old stuffy folks hate it. I'm approaching golf. This is the conversation. It's happening in other sports too. What do we call it in other sports? Analytics. Old hat baseball guys despise the analytics guys. Guys like me. Guys who go numbers. Numbers. You still got to play gut feelings here and there, but numbers tell you everything. We now have supercomputers that I can plug my pitcher in and I can plug in any set of variables. What does this guy do in the fifth inning against left-handers with two outs, with two strikes and two balls on the scoreboard? And that computer will go look through that guy's entire career history and say 83% of the time he throws a curveball down and away. So likely he's probably coming curveball here. Not a guarantee, but likely he's probably coming curveball. And I can tell my batter, hey, sit on the curveball here. Watch the curveball low and away. That's where you're swinging. Everything's analytics. Every sport is analytics. Every sport, there is truth in the numbers. And Bryson DeChambeau came back and said, I'm a numbers guy. Every shot I hit, every spot on the golf course, I'm going to have a little book that I'm going to open up. And that book is going to say, on this hole, from this spot, at this percentage, this is the right club. And that's what I'm going to play. There's no more guesswork here. I'm going to have a little book that's got a million circles on every hole. And it says, if your ball is in this circle, you hit an 8-iron. And if it's in this circle, you hit a 7-iron. And he was kind of being a gigantic, and everybody got real mad. And Brooks Koepka, who's the exact opposite of that, kind of hated Bryson DeChambeau. And there was an interview when Brooks was doing an on-camera interview where Bryson DeChambeau came walking past him. And while he was walking past him, he was walking in golf spikes, but on concrete. You know that sound that golf spikes make when they're on concrete? That sound?
Same sound anyone who wears high heels in our hallway.
Correct, but like 9 of them. He's walking by Koepka with these loud-ass spikes on concrete, and Brooks Koepka looks back over his shoulder, and as he's coming back to Cam, pulls a Jim Halpert and rolls his eyes. So far, I thought they probably could have seen his brain. And everybody was like, oh, this is a rivalry. This is a rivalry. Well, then, Brooks Koepka moved on, got past the rivalry. Now they're friends. They're playing golf together on the weekends. They're buddy-buddy at this point. That rivalry went away. And it just kind of died quietly, right? Like, they didn't have that game 6 jumper to break the other guy's heart deciding moment. They didn't have a rivalry like Magic and Larry where it was obviously based on mutual respect, but those guys were trying to kill each other. They have that. It just stopped. And they don't have that anymore. And so I kind of thought I would be not surprised to see the tour and to see Augusta play up the PGA v LIV Tour battle on the course. Well, you had two things happen. Number one, outside of Max Homa, you didn't really have a LIV guy that was anywhere near the top of the leaderboard. You had Max Homa hanging out there, and outside of that, there wasn't really body in the LIV Tour that felt like a threat late Saturday or at any point on Sunday. Early in the day, today, Sunday, it thought like, okay, maybe Max Homa makes a push here. He's within striking distance. But then Scottie Scheffler went out there, did Scottie Scheffler things, and nope.
I'm trying to recall a portion that I watched, which was a pretty good amount Sunday, them pointing out this is a LIV golfer and this is a GA golfer, and I don't recall seeing it.
They really didn't. Now, I will point out that.
Did they do that a bunch when this whole thing started?
The world of golf definitely did. Like, golf was doing its best to kind of pimp this rivalry a little bit, to kind of make this rivalry feel genuine. But you got a couple of problems that have prevented that. The first problem you have is neither side is actually doing anything talking smack back and forth because they got that merger on the table. They got that merger on the table between the PGA and the LIV Tour. They both want it to happen when they get the details down. They both want it to happen. And so they can't really openly go out there and have the PGA boys, which is why, like I said, Rory McIlroy for a hot minute was the guy I was paying attention to because Rory was out there running his mouth about the LIV Tour and, you know, calling them rebels and calling them castaways and all that. And I was like, hell yeah, now it's interesting. And then he stopped and he's chalked it up to, well, I just want to focus on golf. But I think anybody who's following the story knows, no, the PGA told you to knock it off because the only way to make the LIV Tour go away is to join hands with them, right? Like, they've reached the if you can't beat them, join them part of the conversation. And I think because of that, you've pretty much ended up in a position where the LIV Tour guys aren't going to come after the PGA guys. The PGA guys aren't going to go after the LIV guys. And it's not really a rivalry if they're not fighting, right? Like, the Magic v. Bird rivalry isn't the Magic v. Bird rivalry if they don't keep meeting each other in the NBA Finals every year.
Yeah, if you're not getting, if I'm paired with him, I'm just not playing type things. If you're not getting that, it has to start from the ground up like it did when players were going at each other. Since they stopped doing that, really, the thing has just fizzled.
It would work if you had Brooks like, hey, I'm with Bryson. That guy, the LIV Tour, his stupid biceps, his tight t-shirts, his game, his wife, his mom. But then I'd be like, okay, now, oh yeah, no, obviously I have to watch this. But when you got everybody out there playing nice, and because they're playing nice, TV can't manufacture a rivalry for us out of it.
But here's the thing. So I, not a golf fan, while I'm watching yesterday, I see DeChambeau show up on the leaderboard a little bit like he's going on a run. And that's the first thing I think of is all that back and forth. Without that, I'd have no idea who he is.
I think it's, Bryson DeChambeau for a hot minute was arguably the most notorious golfer on tour, both before and right after the split. He was notorious because he was playing pretty good ball before the split. It was notorious when he went over because a lot of folks, I think, thought that Bryson would be one of the guys that stuck around. Like, he just kind of had that vibe to him, and he did, and he took the money and ran. Woo-ooh-ooh. So Bryson DeChambeau, when he went to the LIV Tour, somebody asked me on Friday, why is LIV Tour not a better deal? Why is it not a bigger deal? And on the flip side, why is the PGA Tour suffering right now? And I said, to me, honestly, it's kind of an easy answer, ultimately. It's kind of an easy answer, and it's twofold. The first is that without the LIV Tour guys, the PGA Tour events feel watered down. The PGA Tour events don't feel like they are the best golf. It feels like best versus rest, not best versus best, and that kind of takes away from it a little bit. On the flip side, why isn't the LIV Tour a bigger deal? That one feels even easier to me. That one feels like primarily it is because of the fact that it's just different. It's a different format. It's different competitors. I think that the 58 hole or 56 hole instead of the full 72 kind of takes away from it for a lot of people. I feel like the team orientation of it takes away from a lot of people. I feel like because it is so dramatically different from the PGA Tour, change is fine, but it has to be incremental change. I'm going to go ahead and make the stab great one that when the NFL kicks off in week one with the new kickoff rules, social media is going to burn because of people going, I hate it. This is dumb. I hate it. Because they didn't incrementally change kickoff. They dramatically changed kickoff. LIV Tour dramatically changed from what golf fans had been used to for 1,000 years. And because of that change being so dramatic, I think it was hard for them to convince people. You also have to bring up the fact that LIV Tour is inaccessible, right? Where's LIV Tour playing this weekend? I got no idea.
I thought you said they were on the CW.
Sure. What channel's the CW at your house?
62.
Okay, that's not fair. They do all the, or they used to do all the comic book shows.
Yeah. That's why I know. Yeah.
I would go if I ask 99 people on the streets of Greenville, South Carolina, the overwhelming majority of them couldn't tell me what channel the CW is at their house if I gave them $100 to do it.
But if they did, you would right away go, Arrowverse nerd.
Correct. And the ones that did, I would go, oh, okay, you were in for Smallville. Got it. It's inaccessible. It's a bunch of unknowns. It's a wild format. And now you have split the best group of golfers into two. So no tournament has all the best. They all have half of the best and then everybody else that jumped up. And we don't go for that. Never have. So I thought they would really lean on the PGA Tour, LIV Tour split in this Masters tournament. And they really didn't. And I don't know if that is because it is hard to prop up a rivalry where the two sides in the rivalry don't talk about it being a rivalry, A. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the first thing on the CW sports page is LIV Golf.
I'm sure it is.
Followed by NWA Wrestling, 100 Days to Indy, Inside the NFL, and ACC College Basketball.
Yeah, I think that tells you what you need to know. I don't know if you know this. College basketball is kind of over, and that's what they're pimping right now. I think that's kind of the point. So I thought they were going to lean into it. They really didn't. And I don't know if it's because both sides of the rivalry aren't pretending it's a rivalry, and or B, LIV Tour guys weren't really in competition because Scottie Scheffler just killed everybody. Not sure.
The Rob Brown Show. Get Rob at thefanupstate.com.